So since the start of the year, we've been talking about just how healthy do we want to be. In the last couple of weeks, we started talking about how do we have a healthy community? How, when each of us is individually healthy, does our community look different? So today, I'm excited to talk to you about how the God of the universe, that God that put the stars in the sky, that God that brought the mountains up out of the plains, that very same God handcrafted each and every one of us. How he individually, in that handcrafting of each one of us, and he did this even before he created the earth, he thought about all the cool ways for you and me to play in his kingdom. So when each of us lives the life that God planned for us, then and only then can we have truly healthy communities. And that's what we get to talk about this morning. So join me in praying, and then we'll get started. So Heavenly Father, we invite you and your Spirit into this room even more. And Father, where there might be even a little bit of resistance in any of us, would you just soften our hearts and just melt that away? Father, I pray that you would use me as a vessel today for your words, for your passion, for your heart, for all of us, Father. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. So I'm excited because I get to talk about one of my very favorite verses of all of Scripture, and that's Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I love this verse because it so richly shows that God uniquely handcrafted each and every one of us, and he has super cool ways for all of us to participate in his kingdom. So the word in this passage, workmanship, it's a little Greek word, poema, is how you pronounce it. And it's where we get our English word poem. So it can be translated workmanship, poem, or even masterpiece. So what God is saying to each one of us is that we are his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. We're his poem that he lovingly wrote for us. We're not some cheap knockoff art like a Velvet Elvis, unless you're into that thing. No, we're like this masterpiece, like a Van Gogh or a Monet, a masterpiece that you find in a museum. So we're God's masterpiece. We're a work of his hands, and he's the artist. So let's think a little bit about God as the artist. What might that look like? Well, we get examples of it, right? Sunrises, sunsets, the majesty of the Rocky Mountains, the Grand Canyon, that beautiful lake out there that we all love. Those are all expressions of God. And we're expressions of him as well. We're an expression. We're a work of art. And art is beautiful. Art is valuable. And it's an expression of the Creator. So what this really means is you are beautiful. You're valuable. And you're an expression of the inner being of God the artist. Now let that sink in for a minute. God created you, and he doesn't make junk. God the Father handcrafted each and every one of us. So think of the difference between cheap plastic stuff, maybe stuff you get at the dollar store, which I like, so I'm not dissing the dollar store, but think of the difference between plastic stuff. And then again, think about the work of the masters. And then think about the difference between something like the beautiful vistas that you would see from the Alps and maybe a drawing that I might create, knowing that my gifting is not as an artist at all. So our Heavenly Father, He handcrafted each and every one of us. Psalm 139 expresses this in a really unique and great way. Verses 13 to 16 in particular. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, I love this picture of God knitting. All right, so if I was going to knit something, it would be one color, two needles, probably not very straight. It might be functional, and that's probably about it. But imagine God, all right? Imagine, like, have you ever seen people knit and use, like, multiple needles, like four or five needles, different sizes of needles even, and using different colors, and they have different stitches? Well, God's knitting, it would be like those Scandinavian sweaters, but like on steroids, right? Yeah. And that's what I think of when I read this verse, Psalm 139 and the section of it. Here's a different translation of that same verse. And, you know, when I look at scripture, I just think it helps sometimes to take a look at a different translation. Kind of gives me a new take on something. So let's look at this, verses 14 through 16 here. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous. You were there while I was being formed. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. God personally designed you with a purpose in mind, even before you existed. He created you as an individual, and He delights in that. So now think about all the billions of people who live on this earth right now, and the billions of people who have come before us, and however many billions will come after us. No one has ever lived on this earth and been exactly like you. No, not even if you're an identical twin, there's still differences. God chose unique characteristics when He knit you together in your mother's womb. So when I think about God thinking about something, when He knitted someone together, I think of Michael Phelps. So Michael Phelps is this amazing swimmer. You might remember him. He is the guy who set an Olympic record for winning the most medals. 22 medals he won. So take a look at this picture. This is a picture of him. So I can imagine God's making Michael Phelps, and most people are as tall as their outstretched arms, all right? Well, Michael Phelps is a full 3 inches, has 3 inches longer in his wingspan than his height, all right? And then he has these size 14 feet. He has abnormally flexible joints over his entire body. And then he has these paddle-like hands, right? He was made to be a swimmer. And if that's not enough, they've done tests on him because they couldn't figure out how could he win like so many medals back to back. Because most of our bodies, we give off, when we've exerted ourselves, lactic acid. And that acid, it's what makes you feel stiff and sore after you work out, right? Well, his body produces less than half the normal amount. And that's how it was that he could swim back to back like that and recover so quickly. So God made him to be this amazing swimmer. And I wonder, what did God put in each one of us that maybe we haven't developed? Michael Phelps had choices to make as well, right? If he hadn't gotten up and practiced, if he hadn't, you know, swam all those laps, he wouldn't have been a gold medal winner. So what are those things maybe that we don't even know, that we don't even know got knitted in us? Have you taken the time to ask God about those things? So I used to work at UMD, and when I did, I worked with faculty members from across the university, and I had the privilege of working with a few different doctors in the med school. And one day I walked into one of these doctors, his office, and he had this whiteboard, which was actually in an entire wall of his office was the whiteboard. And on that whiteboard, the entire whiteboard, was a mathematical equation, which struck me as kind of funny. And so I said to him, "So does that really mean something? Or are you just, do you just have it up there to impress or scare the students off when they walk into your office?" And he got so excited to tell me, "Oh, no, 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 let me tell you about that equation. It's actually a computer, it's an equation that allows a computer to hear the different subtle differences in a human heart, the lub-dub. So when a doctor listens to our hearts with a stethoscope, they can only hear a certain amount, right? And this computer program would allow doctors to hear and detect more quickly, more easily, some sort of a problem going on in the heart." So he was super excited to tell me all about this. Well, a few years after that, I was reading Psalm 139, and I was just kind of thinking about how God has uniquely made each one of us. And I had read on the internet, which, as you may know, is not always the greatest source of information, that we each have individual heartbeats. So I thought, maybe not, I'm not so sure. But I know who might know, right? Dr. Nordine at UMD. So I called him and I said, "Hey, what do you think? Do you think it's possible that human beings could all have unique heartbeats?" And he thought for a couple of minutes and he said, "You know, Casey, I think that really could be true. I think when you think about all the different variances between the lub and the dub and the distance between the lub and the dub and no doubt all sorts of other variances that he didn't bother explaining to me because I wouldn't have understood." He said, Yeah, I think that's probably true. So think about this. Our God took the time to create each and every one of us, and each one of us with a unique heartbeat, unique fingerprints, right? We know that that's true. Certain heights, certain hair color, certain eye color. Really, the God we love and get to serve, this is how he handcrafted each and every one of us here. We are masterpieces. And the way in which God created you determines how he intends for you to serve. So just think of the implications of this in your life. Do you know what God has uniquely put into you? Do you know how God has created you to serve in his kingdom? Now, Ephesians 2:10, it states two things that are important. It says that God has prepared these two things. He's prepared us, and he's prepared the works that he has for us to do. So we're not told to just go out and do random good works. Instead, we're told that God has ordained the very works that we are to perform. He's prepared them, in fact. He's placed them in our paths. He's woven the strands through our lives, through our experiences, both good and bad, through our passions, our abilities, our personalities, and our spiritual giftings. So I don't have time, or is this the forum, to have each one of you dig into what God uniquely put into you. But as Mike talked about, conveniently, we have a class that we teach, and we're teaching it next Sunday. And that's that ministry piece of the core classes. And in that class, you get an opportunity to really dig in to what God uniquely put into you and different ways that you could walk that out. So next Sunday at 2:30, you can sign up on your Connect form and register for that. And in addition to that, Mike also mentioned that the kids, so if you have grade school age children, They will be learning also about their spiritual giftings. So you could go to the classes and then have a great conversation on the way home about what God's uniquely put into all of you. All right, that's the end of the commercial. And here's my second point. We will be much more content and fruitful when we learn how God has uniquely created us and what the good works are that he's prepared for each one of us to do. All right, let's look at the verse again, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now notice the preposition for. The verse says that we are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. God's saving grace, that happens first. And then those good works, they follow. Now this is important because some of you already feel a fair amount of angst, maybe shame, maybe guilt. Oh my gosh, God's got stuff for me to do and I haven't been doing it. I don't even know what the heck it is. Oh man, he must not love me very much. I might not even get into heaven. That is absolutely not what this verse is saying. And here's the crazy thing about our God. God can't possibly love you more than he loves you today. He loves you fully and completely with his infinite love. He, even if all you did was sat on your couch and ate potato chips and watched Netflix, he would not love you any less. Now, I'm not advocating for that. It's not a good idea in all sorts of realms. But the point is, God doesn't, this isn't about God's love. This isn't about us getting into heaven. That's absolutely not what the verse is saying. So let's back up a little bit. It's important to read scripture in context. So let's look at the verses that come before this. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. So again, this is very important. These good works that we're talking about will not save you, and they will not cause God to love you anymore. But here's the thing. You will live happier, more fulfilled lives if we live the lives God planned for us. So to some, again, this idea of good works, it sounds legalistic, it sounds burdensome. But don't get stuck there. That's not what God intends at all. And there's another phrase that is important for you to notice. And that's the phrase, which God prepared beforehand. We're not the ones that have to muster up enough wisdom, enough insight, enough power, enough energy, enough resources to do these things. No. God's already prepared them for you. He already has all the resources that are necessary. Whew, right? That's good news. That's not on our shoulders. That's not our burden. So let me read it again out of a different translation. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned these good things to be the way we live our lives. So this shows that living our lives the way that God intended, it's the outflow of his mercy and grace that he has in us. And it's not just about doing things. It's about being. It's about who we are. The Bible tells us that when we decide to follow Jesus, that what we get is a new heart. And with that new heart, it's expressed in a new lifestyle. And that new lifestyle, it flows out of God's grace. This is all about recognizing God's grace in us. Well, there's this guy, his name is Christian Schwartz, and he did a study. He did a study of followers of Jesus across the whole world. And one of the things he was looking at is what makes followers of Jesus the most content. All right, and here's what he learned. Followers of Jesus are the most content when they understand that they were uniquely made and they're serving in that capacity. So this is kind of crazy, right? It's not about how amazing your family is or how great your job is or how much money you make or what age you get to retire. That's not what it is. No, it's about knowing how God uniquely made you and then serving in that capacity. So think about it. How content are you? Again, do you know what you were made for? And are you living that life that God has for you? So here's something that I found to be true. When we live the lives that we were uniquely designed to live, and we recognize God's grace in our lives, we have more energy, our lives are more fruitful, and we're more content. So it's kind of like driving in a snowstorm. We know about this, right? We're all northerners. So you know when you drive through a snowstorm and the roads haven't been plowed in a while, and so there's a couple of, several inches of snow, and what you want is you want those tracks that have gone before you, right? And when you're driving and you settle into those tracks, you can continue to move forward, right? And it's not too bad. But as you start to go out of those tracks, life feels kind of shaky and you don't feel like you have very much control and you feel like you could end up sidetracked and in the ditch, right? Yeah, but if you settle back down into those grooves, you can make good forward momentum and it can feel a whole lot better. And we know what that's like, right? If you've lived very long at all, you've probably experienced both of these things in your life. And as you pursue becoming who God's created you to be, you find that you no longer feel like you're swimming upstream. You no longer feel like you're going outside of those grooves. In fact, you feel like you're becoming who you were meant to be. Listen to this quote from Timothy Keller. God had an idea when he made you. And it's your job to find out what that idea is. When you find it and you honor it, you'll find your true self. So how many of us really know the idea God had in mind when he was knitting you together? Do you know that true self? Well, you can. Because our God is not a God that would weave that into you and then leave it just to be a mystery that, oh, I'm sorry, you're not going to get to figure that out. No, he desires for us to figure it out. In fact, he longs for us to care enough to stop focusing on everything else and turn to him and ask him, what did you put inside me? What did you make me for? All right, so if all of that isn't enough and your head isn't already spinning, there's another ramification of this idea of God as the artist. And in this case, think of God as a sculpture and you're the marble. And God is at work always and continually making us into this masterpiece that he has in mind. And sometimes, in that process, there's some chipping, right? And some filing that has to take place. And sometimes that's painful. And sometimes you might even cry out, no, 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 don't take that, God. I need that piece. And what we need to do in those moments is we need to listen to the artist say to us, it's okay. You can trust me. Let me go ahead. Yep, it's gonna hurt. But it's going to be okay. And as he shapes us, you know, you've maybe heard it said before that God's a gentleman, and he doesn't just come in and chip away. He really lets us yield to him. And he's waiting for us to yield to him. He didn't just come in and do it without that. So what is God turning you into? What's the process that you're in? So everything, absolutely everything that's gone on in your life so far to this point, the good and the bad, God the artist is using it to make this unique masterpiece. Now you might think, you know, Casey, you don't know about my past. You don't know the sins that I've committed. You don't know that the sins that have been committed against me. But here's the deal about our God. He is a God of redemption. He's a God of reconciliation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's gone on. He will take all of it, the good, the bad, the painful, all of it. Even our deliberate disobedience, he'll take it and he'll work it into our lives and he'll make a masterpiece. Which, just like Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things God works for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Because everything that's gone on in your life, every chisel of that hammer, every terrible thing, God is using. So you don't have to be afraid of your past, because you are his workmanship and you are a unique creation. God uses the gifts that you have and even the hurts to turn you into this unique creation, and he has cool, exciting stuff for you to do in his kingdom. So look back. Can you see the artist's hand in your life? Do you know what he's working on right now in you? So imagine each one of us knowing how God created us, what he knit into each and every one of us, and then each of us serving in that way, each of us walking together, serving the way God intended for our greater community to serve together. So what could this look like? It's kind of exciting to think about. So our communities are healthiest when each member of the community knows who they are and what they were made for and is doing that and walking that out together. Now, there are lots and lots of passages in Scripture that talk about the idea of us being the body of Christ, with Christ as the head, and us coming together and working together. And I had to limit it to three. And then John and I were talking, and he said, you know, Casey, about this point in the sermon, there might be getting a little tired of your voice, and you've got three passages here, and one of them's pretty long. So maybe we should have some of our Vineyard kids record some of these verses and let them do what God's put in them to do for the kingdom. So that's what we did. I want to give you the passages beforehand so you can follow along, or you can look them up later. And here's why. Because the cute quotient on these are really high, which makes them kind of distracting. So it's a little hard to really listen to the words. So it's maybe not the most effective way to do this, but so here are the verses. 1 Peter 4:10. Ephesians 4:14 through 16. And then the longest one, which it might be helpful for you to read along, is 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 27. All right, so let's listen to our kids.
1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you some special abilities. God has given you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Be sure to use them to help each other. Passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings.
Ephesians 4:14 through 16. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming.
Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become every respect and mature body of the Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
1 Corinthians 12:14 through 27. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Now God has placed the members, each one of them, on the body, just as he has desired. And if they were one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable on, these we bestow more abundant honor. And these and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seamless, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, give more obedient, more abundant honor to that members with lack. Yes, lack, okay. That there should be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another, and if the member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If the member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it.
Nicely done, huh? Thanks to our Vineyard kids. So remember this guy, Christian Schwartz, I mentioned him a little bit ago. And he's the one who measured our contentment as followers of Jesus. Well, listen to what else he found in his research. He learned that only between 5 and 20% of people in churches know what they're good at and they're doing it. So remember now, this is the number one factor in them being satisfied in their Christian walk, knowing what they were made to do and doing it. So we've just listened to several verses that talk about the body of Christ being like a human body. And now imagine if only 5 to 20% of your body was working. Well, what would you like? Your brain, that seems like a good idea, right? Your heart, another good idea. Lungs, kidney, liver, we've probably exceeded that 20% threshold already. Well, we know that when our full body isn't working, it's difficult, right? It's difficult to do the things that that we need to do on a regular basis. So this is a good time to ask yourself, where are you at in those percentages? Are you part of that 5 to 20%? Are you part of that larger percentage? Do you know the life that God's created you for? And are you living it? Serving as you were designed to serve. So remember, you might have heard this in the 1 Corinthians passage. It said, even if one member is not working, we all suffer. So what's the impact of this? I think it means that we were meant to do this stuff together. We're meant to bring the love of Jesus to our neighbors, to our town, to our world. And we're meant to have a great time doing it. This isn't meant to be a burden. So let me give you an example of someone who's used the gifts and the talents that God wove into her, and also her painful experiences, to do what God's called her to do in the body of Christ. So she's given me permission to tell you part of her story. Her name's Christy, and Christy is this amazingly organized person. In fact, I can imagine God knitting her together in her mother's womb and saying, this one is going to have this great eye for detail. She's going to have the ability to be very organized. She's going to have the ability to oversee large events. So this, all of this that God put in her, it makes her good at her job. She's an administrative assistant, and she's really good at doing that job. But it also allows her to serve the church in this great way. See, unfortunately, Christy and her husband, Gary, they've lost 3 children before those children were born. Now, many of you know how difficult that is and how painful. And the first thing that Christy had to do was she had to acknowledge the pain, and she had to invite Jesus into a process and let him come in and heal her. And as she did this, she was able to serve our entire body with an event called Remembering God's Little Ones. Now, this is an evening that's set aside for parents who have lost children, whose children have died. And this event has helped many, many families get closure and walk through healing that they desperately needed. And you can imagine an event like this. It needs someone who has a great eye for detail. And it also needs someone who understands the level of hurt and pain that's caused by the loss of a child. It needs someone who gets that when a child's name is read out loud, and maybe it's the very first time this child's name has ever even been read out loud, that it's pronounced correctly. That when it's seen written, that it's written and spelled correctly. It needs someone overseeing it that understands that every person that walks through the door is at a different place in their healing process. And that the people who are at that event need to be trained to recognize this and respond correctly. So Christy is the perfect person for this event, to oversee this event. And she's done an amazing job of it. And when I watched Christy, plan this event and meet with different pastors to tell us and teach us what to watch for, it's like watching this work of art be formed and created right in front of my eyes. Because Christy's allowed God to use not just the things he knit into her, but her hurt and her pain to minister to the entire body of Christ. Now imagine if every single one of us knew what we were created for and we were living that life. So again, how about you? So when you hear about somebody who something difficult has happened to, do your eyes well up with tears? If they do, you most likely have been given the spiritual gift of mercy. And there's lots of different ways that you can use the spiritual gift of mercy. One way, we've talked about our food shelf, one way is to sit down and enjoy a cup of coffee with somebody who's gone through some tough times. You don't come to the food shelf to get food because everything's been going great in your life. That's a great way to use that gift of mercy. And we've all been given different gifts. I don't have the gift of mercy. So if you're looking for someone to be very sympathetic and tear up when you talk to them, don't come talk to me. It's just a little tip. Find someone who tears up. They are the ones that have that gift of mercy. So here's another thing. How about, are you maybe one of those crafty people? One of those people that can see things and make them look good? Well, you might not be aware that we hold a lot of funerals at this church, usually during the week. And we need people who can make this auditorium look really amazing, can set up the flower arrangements and the photographs of the loved one so that when people walk through the doors, they feel like we've taken the time to honor the person that they've just lost. It's really important. It takes a certain set of skills. It's a set of skills I don't have. Another thing in that same realm is, you know, when we do child dedications, we have these little bud vases with flowers in them. You know, you might think that anybody could stick those flowers in those vases and they would look good. I thought, surely I could do that. I can't. It's amazing to me. It takes someone who can see something that I can't see to do it. All those kinds of things. They may seem like little things. They are no less important than Christy running a full event. They're no less important than me standing up and talking to you. They're vital for the life of this church. So, there's all sorts of things, again, that God's put into you. One more example. I could give you example after example after example. But maybe you're one of those goal-oriented people who can get a lot done, and people like to be around you. We call those sticky people. You might be aware that we feel that God has asked our church to be a sending church to the counties around us. And we believe that God wants a Vineyard church in all of those counties. So maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you're one of those sticky people. And it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. Maybe you're getting ready to retire. And you think, oh good, it's all going to get easy now. And maybe God's saying, I got a thought. And if you listen to him, your life will be full and wonderful. And not at all what you think it might look like. So God desires to turn each of us into a beautiful, magnificent masterpiece. Something of breathtaking beauty. Something that will bring glory to God and to his church and build up the church. So what would it look like if you said, yeah, I'll partner with you, God, so that we can be the church that he intends for us to be. A church filled with people who know what they've been called to and are living that life. So in the pockets in front of you, there's a card that looks like this. Yep, this is that time. I'd like you to pull that card out. And there's a list of different ways that you can maybe just give it a try. You can also go to a link on your phone and do this online. That's another option that you have. Now, you might think, they're just looking for more bodies to fill spots. And that's not what this is about. This is about reading Scripture and letting it impact our lives. But this is a practical way that maybe God would have you step in for the first time. So let me just pray and ask God what he might have you do with this card. So Holy Spirit, maybe with fear and trepidation, we invite you in even more. Father, would you just take away all of the roadblocks, all the excuses that we're coming up with right now? And Father, would you let us just look at this list and highlight a couple of areas that look like areas we might think that you've wired us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So what we want to do is we want to change our culture, the culture of our entire church. So here's, again, one more piece of this. So what if we saw ourselves as miners? If we looked at a mountain, and instead of just seeing the mountain, the rocks, we actually saw the jewels that are underneath the surface. And what if we looked around in this auditorium and we believed that every single person here is God's masterpiece? And there are jewels, and maybe they're underneath the surface. Maybe they're buried a little ways underneath the surface. But what if we said it was our responsibility to call that out in other people and call each other to what God has for us? So maybe you have talked to somebody and they're really worried about their grandkids. And they've expressed this. And you could say to them, do you know what? There's this group of grandparents that get together once a week and they pray for their grandkids. And they also pray for all of our children and Vineyard kids. Our children and Vineyard kids, we have prayer request cards and they fill out these prayer request cards. You would be amazed at the things some of our kids are asking for prayer about. And then our students, our junior high students and our senior high students, they fill them out week after week with all sorts of prayer requests. And our grandparents group that meets here every Friday, and then they have a group of grandparents that can't come, or not every Friday, every Wednesday. They have a group of grandparents that can't come, and they get them electronically. And they pray for those requests. What a great thing to invite someone in who's worried about their grandchildren, right? And there's all sorts of examples like this. What if you saw someone interacting with one of their kids or somebody else's kid and you said, you know what, you're pretty good at that. I bet they could use your help in Vineyard Kids. What if somebody prayed for you and you said, hey, do you know that there are people that go to the hospital and go to people's homes and pray for people? Those are our healing teams. We have been given a tremendous privilege, and with that, a tremendous responsibility to do this kingdom stuff together. And I think God intends for it to be amazing as individuals and amazing for us together. I think that's his heart. Would you stand with me, please? So again, how content are you with your life today? And maybe you're in a season of change. Maybe you've been very content. Maybe you have been doing what you know God has called you to, but life is changing. You're moving into a new season. Maybe you're heading to retirement. Maybe your kids are all going to be gone soon, and the house is going to be empty. Maybe your marital status has just changed. Maybe you're going to graduate from high school. And it's time to ask again, God, what do you have for me? So don't ignore him. Don't ignore that little prodding that you feel right now. Because this is for all of us. So do you know what you were made for? If you want to know more, come get prayer. I'm going to invite the prayer ministry people to come up. They've been trained to pray. And maybe God's saying that he has for you to pray for people. So come up and say that, and they'll tell you how to do that, and they'll pray for you too. You know what? Maybe you're someone who is feeling just a little resentful right now, because maybe you had dreams. You felt like you knew what God was calling you to. And you felt like you tried, and it didn't work out the way that you thought that it was going to work out. And maybe you just feel like, you know, I'm not doing that again, Casey. And I guess I would say to you, please don't give up. I know what it's like to wait a long time, decades, in fact, to walk out things that God's put inside of me. So don't let go of those dreams. Come and get prayer about that and see what God has for you for a next step. And I just want to pray over us as a community, because I believe, like it's been prophesied over us, over the Duluth Vineyard, that we are meant to be a light to this community and a light beyond this community. So Father God, we ask that you would be fully and completely glorified in our body, in the body that we call the Duluth Vineyard. Father, would you call out gifts in us as individuals that you intend for us to walk out hand in hand. Father, even now, would you be doing that? Would you be letting people know, putting dreams, putting those passions into their hearts, even now? that we can be the church fully and completely, not 5 to 20% of the church, not even 80% of the church, that we could be 100% your church, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you are doing and you will do. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen.